Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Joining me is the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at JUMOSQ and, of course, at acmepackingcompany.com. Justice, it has been a whirlwind of a week. I hope your holiday was well. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm watching Bill Belichick coach a college football team, if you can believe it. Yeah, I mean, so been watching a lot of college football. That's pretty much been what my weekend's been up to.
There's no first-round pick in Green Bay. You can take some time off.
I watch college football because I like it.
I'm
kind of invested in it, but I'm not like watching film to break down special teams and preseasons and stuff like that. Like, I don't know who Oregon's starting lineup is, and I'm okay with that. That's fine. I'm here for the fun.
I love that. I love that for you. No, it's been just nice having a full slate of college football back. And I had my first Saturday college football nap, which just totally hits different. You just got like Big Ten in the background. You take like an hour nap, you wake up, it's like the third quarter. It's perfect. It hit different this past weekend. And now, of course, we get NFL, which is even, well, for me, it's at least even better. So yeah, I'm excited for all of it.
I'm excited, man. Where do you want to start? Because we can go really down like two different roads right here.
Let's start with Micah, because I think there's a lot to discuss here still. I actually just want to start in a very simple place with Micah. The last time we talked, it was incredibly fresh. You came on the night that they acquired Micah Parsons, and we got to kind of go over it in our like initial reaction phase. So now that we are a handful of days later, he is donned the number one at practice. We saw his opening press conference, and we've all had a second to let this sink in a little bit more. I'm sure all have watched a little bit of tape and everything like that as well. How are you feeling? Has it totally sunk into you yet?
Yeah. As far as it like sinking in, for sure. Because I'm not focused on the cap stuff, but like I'm aware of it. Like I don't care. Like, Doug, that we're talking about 2028. I'm not worried about 2028 right now. Micah Parsons is playing for my football team. You use the cap space,
yep,
to get Micah Parsons. You use the draft picks to get Micah Parsons. I'm not worried about that.
Yep.
You know, whether he's the best defender in the league or not, I think that's open up for up to debate. As far as the best player who is the most versatile, I don't think that's up for debate. It's okay. Micah Parsons, and he's 26. Guys, he's Micah Parsons. People are saying, run right at him. Good luck. Good luck, bozos. I can make a cut-up reel for you right now of all these TFLs that he has. Like, there's not the downside. We juice this roster. We're going to pay for it on the back end. That's 2028's problem. I do not care about that. I will say, do I go into this rant?
Go for it.
Because I know this is not what people are here for. Okay. The NFLPA stuff.
Okay.
That we talked about. Now, people might not have cared whether the money that they're paying this league with either their eyes or their actual money, if they're paying, you know, Sunday ticket or going to a game or buying jerseys or whatever. Maybe people didn't care at that point whether that money, what the split was between billionaire owners and the players. Okay. And, you know, if you're just popping in for 3 hours a week, I guess I kind of get that, right? Packers fans should very much care about the NFLPA moving forward and what the next television contract looks like. There are recent numbers that just came out because The NFL has a television deal that has a team that has basically like a league option through 2030. Okay.
Yep.
It is the assumption, like working assumption already, that by 2029, the NFL is going to opt out of that final year of the deal. So we're talking about a new contract in 2030, not 2031. Okay. Why is this important? The NFL likes to get collective bargaining agreements done ahead of time before they go to market for a television contract so that they can show these television networks, hey, we have 10 years of,
labor peace.
There's not, yeah, labor security. Like there's not going to be a strike, right? Or it has to be a wildcat strike. So new CBA has to get done by 2028. Okay. We're seeing data that's coming through now, which is one of the reasons why the NFL is willing to take that bet and is essentially operating as we're turning down that option. Okay. In 2030. Because they're looking at numbers and they're saying, hey, when you advertise during an NFL game, it's actually 30 times more efficient than it is when you're advertising in the same block for something people DVR or just, you know, they're going to watch it on Hulu after the fact or something like that, right? They're doing all that tracking stuff through smart TVs. The NFL has that data. The NFL is sure as hell going to go to streaming services, broadcast networks, whatever it may be, and show them that and say, hey, you guys have actually been getting a really good deal on this. Pay up. Meanwhile, the NFL salary cap is going up about $25 million per year on a year-to-year basis. Okay. I don't think it's crazy to think that like by 2030, it could be $400 million salary cap.
Yep.
And you're seeing teams take pretty big bets on that, right? You're seeing the Philadelphia Eagles just say like, we're pushing it forward. We're pushing it forward and it'll be so inflated by the start of the new television deal that if we pay $28 million cap hit right now, that's 10% of the cap. But by the new television deal, that might be 5% of the cap. So we're just going to kick it forward. We've talked about this before where since COVID, right, which is when everyone in the NFL had to learn how to use void years and stuff like that, which, by the way, Micah Parsons has 2 years of void years at the end of his deal. It functions as a five-year contract. They're not using it right now, but they've already like pre-baked years that they will be using void deals to convert his option bonus in 26 and 27. If you're a fan and you don't want to do all the math, what that really means is they're borrowing from the future starting next year, basically. It's not going to hurt him until 28, I don't think. I forget where I just went on. Oh, COVID, void years.
Yep.
The Cleveland Browns have spent $400 million more on players, basically twice the salary cap right now than the Pittsburgh Steelers have since COVID. That's a 6-year span, fellas. I know people are like, you know, you have to pay it off eventually, all this stuff. Not really. Like, there's a limit to the amount of debt, like cap debt, that you can assume, right? But there's no timetable on when you pay it. You could just keep kicking that can forward. So that's why I'm talking about 2028, where I'm like, hey, man, 3 years. And then after that, it's kind of up to the discretion of the team of, like, how smart is it to continue to go all in on this roster? And I don't think we're going to have the answer right now, which is why I don't really care about that. What I will say is whenever we do hit that rebuild, the situation with the next collective bargaining agreement and whether the players get some wins there or ownership gets their win, which right now they're already talking about like, hey, we're paying the players way too much, right? That's going to have a huge impact on how long it's going to take the Packers to kind of get out of this, right? So like you're seeing Philadelphia bet, hey, the players are going to get some wins in this situation. You know, cap inflation is going to be crazy. We'll just pay it off in the future when a 10% payment now means a 5% payment later. Cool. Yep. We're living in that world. See you next television deal. We'll time our rebuild with the start of that. You're now seeing the Packers kind of do that too. So if you didn't care about the NFLPA, if you didn't care about if the money went to the owners or the players, you're in it now. You got skin in the game, whether you like it or not. Like, that's kind of how this thing is going to roll out. So I know I don't want to talk about too much about the future. We got the Lions this week. I'm super excited about that. But I just wanted to get that point out and then, like, never talk about it again until, like, 2028. Because it is interesting. I think it's undercovered. I think fans should know about it. But I'm excited for real deal football, fellas. Trust me. I am with you guys on that. I am not one of these people who is shaking in their boots talking about what is going to happen in 2028. Oh, my God. How is the team going to be able to field a roster? Buddy, I'm in it for this year. Trust me.
Couple things. One, I always say we can multitask. We can both look ahead to the Lions this week and also look at what, you know, some of the stuff in the future. And like you said, just kind of rip the Band-Aid now, look at it, and then, you know, we can obviously just enjoy Micah Parsons from here on out. I also think I'm a pretty big believer in this. I don't care if Brian Gutekunst believes in windows or not, or if he's just lying or whatever the case may be. But if he doesn't believe it, he accidentally opened up a pretty big window over the course of the next 3 years by doing this sort of deal with Micah Parsons. If you're not doing this to some extent when you have a good young team, to me, you're not trying. Like, this should be celebrated in a pretty large way as a Packers fan. I said it multiple times already. I have no idea how this is ultimately going to work out, if this will ultimately result in a Super Bowl, or if at some point it just comes crashing down or whatever. I will never look at this moment and be like, what was Brian Gutekunst possibly thinking? Like, I love the fact that they're being aggressive. I love the fact that they are kind of going for it a little bit. And I love the fact that they got Micah Parsons. So this to me is something to be celebrated. Whatever the results may be, they will be. But man, I'm hella excited at the moment.
So one of the interesting things, and this is like, I think this, I wrote this when owners really started pushing back on player salaries, right? And we started to kind of like figure that stuff out. Before COVID, cash payments by NFL teams was basically locked in line with what the salary cap was. And, you know, basically it was the way to think about it. Teams are paying as they go, right? Once everyone figured out the void year stuff with COVID, you know, it only takes a couple teams going all in for other teams to look around and say, hey man, if I really want, like, we can get to the playoffs, right? But if I really want to, like, push for that title, I have to do what Tampa did under Brady. I have to do what the Rams did in those early Stafford years. I have to do what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing right now, right? So I do think that there is, like, a legitimacy question into, like, can you really bank on being a title contender without going into debt? And right now, since COVID, the number's gone down a little bit, but it's like basically like cash spending is up like 10% relative to what the salary cap is. So a lot of the league is going into, you know, cap debt. Yep. in general. So I do think that, you know, the Packers are going to have to do this eventually. Whether it's, you know, you add Micah Parsons this year, or you do it to re-sign your own players and you wait until, you know, 2028 turns into 2029 in that situation. They said, screw it. Give me probably the best, most versatile player in the league. Who's, you know, if you want to throw in the qualifier, who's not a quarterback in terms of, you know, impact on the field and stuff like that.
Yep.
And yeah, give us 3 years and we'll figure it out. So yeah, I definitely think that that was probably a factor. And I think it's reflective of kind of like where we are in the NFL from like a roster construction standpoint, right? Like, if if Philly's just going to do this and just keep pushing it until the new television deal, then like, hey man, you guys know what time it is. And that's why I'm sure owners who want to line their pockets are like, we got to stop this.
And you're going to close the loophole at some point.
Yeah, we got to close this. So, yeah, again, like I said, Packers fans, whether you wanted to or not, you're caring about NFL labor disputes moving forward. So
I have three predictions here for you, Justice. One is that some point in the near future, owners will close that loophole, because otherwise it's basically like almost not having a salary cap, and you can almost spend to a ridiculous extent. So I think they're going to definitely close that at some point. The second thing is, to your point, if you're not kind of going all in, borrowing from the future, spending more, maybe even trading away future draft assets, et cetera, my guess is that probably 80% of the Super Bowl winners from here on out, maybe even more than that, are doing that in some capacity. Like, it's going to be, there'll be an exception every once in a while to the rule, but my guess is that the vast majority of them are going to be very aggressive in their roster construction to some real extent. And then the final one, my final bold prediction here, is that this is only going to get more aggressive as time goes on. I've watched the NBA close enough. I've watched the NBA close enough to see, like, now teams are trading every pick, every swap, spending every ounce of money they can, going right up to the second apron, sometimes beyond. We've seen it in baseball where teams kind of clear out their prospects to go and trade them for players, and then they kind of go all in for a couple of years and then sell everything off. I think this is only going to get more and more aggressive with a F them picks and spend all your money philosophy before it goes back in the opposite direction.
It's interesting you look at the NBA. I was going to bring up college football. So there college too. Football is a place where you saw a lot of uncertainty this offseason. And people were like, okay, the door is about to be closed. What side of that door do I want to be on before it's closed? And you see teams like Texas Tech spend an amount of money that they're not going to be spending next year, right? For example. Yep. On players to basically juice a roster, get on the other side of the door before it closes. So I think some teams, again, that's going to depend on ownership. And I thank the Lord every day that the Green Bay Packers don't have a billionaire owner who is running this operation for many reasons. For this reason, for lining their pockets, for buddy. All the Jerry Jones stuff that has happened over the last couple weeks. There's going to be a sort of level of want to that is going to depend on your ownership, on what side of that door you want to end up with before it ends up closing, if it does close, right?
Yeah. No, I think so too. Just going back to Micah for a moment, because I just want to kind of go back to what he's going to just bring to Green Bay and just kind of wrapping that up. You brought up the run defense. I'm going through and watching every play from last year. I'm only a couple games in so far, but that very first game against the Browns, he's lined up basically as a defensive tackle. He's standing up on the plays. I don't think his hand's in the dirt. I could be misremembering, but he's going up against Joel Bitonio on the play, like one of the better guards in the league. And he just completely like throws him into the backfield and gets in there and goes and makes a play in the backfield, like multiple plays setting the edge against double teams to force the play back inside, other plays like actually making the play in the backfield. It's like, I don't know what the spin should have been if you're coming from Dallas aside, or if you're, trying to, come to terms with this in some way, shape or form. The idea that he's a bad run defender or anything like that is pretty laughable so far after watching a couple of games on it. And from what I've heard from smart people as well, it seems like a very ridiculous take altogether.
It's very dumb. That, and then I think that one, and then the Cowboys fans being like, he's kind of annoying on podcasts, right? Which, I mean, who am I to throw stones in a glass house, right? But like, Doug, KGB started a cult. Right, Za'Darius Smith got a captain chain made for him. Favre went to rehab. Aaron, if you want to talk about podcasts, like that's not something new here, right? One of my receivers, his dad won't ever log off. Another one of them just didn't get out of bed for a week of practice last year. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's Micah Parsons. I do not. We gave him Curly Lambeau's number. The stadium is named after him. It hasn't been issued in 99 years. Let's make you feel loved on, Micah. We need you, Micah.
Yeah.
Micah, I would really like for you to perform, Micah. That's what matters right now. The other stuff, whatever. Deal with it.
They'll get through it. No, for sure. Yeah, I loved it. I also, not only did he open up number one, I think he opened up number zero as well, because it seemed like they were very intent on not giving up number zero for a while. And then he tweets, "Can I'll be either one or zero." And then as soon as he takes one, Matthew Golden's like, "Oh, interesting. So zero is available now," and goes and takes number zero. It's amazing. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in week one. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details.
Timing is everything. Matthew Golden, shout out to you. You saw the Packers feeling themselves a little bit, asked at the right time, got the number. Smart kid. Smart kid.
My only wish, I wish Jaden Reed would have taken one, his college number, and Micah would have taken 11, but I'm cool with one for Micah, and zero for Golden is great. I feel bad for anyone that bought a number 22 jersey already, but yeah, here we are.
I did get some confirmation on some of that stuff. So if you had it like custom made, or it wasn't back ordered or anything, I don't know what your situation is, but we had some people at APC who in the comment section, when we dropped that article about the jersey changes, or like, so mine is back ordered. Am I still getting the 22, or can I get the zero? And they said that they talked to like the Packers Pro Shop and stuff like that, and they were able to get the zero. So, nice. Yeah, hit up the Packers Pro Shop if you don't have your jersey yet, and you've at least. I mean, I don't know if they'll be willing to exchange it otherwise. But if you're back ordered and stuff like that, I think you can get it changed up. You just got to hit them up and probably do that quick. So there's your PSA.
There you go. Hopefully people can get that done. Cause I know that's a little bit of a bummer, but other than that, zero looks great. One looks great. I'm very happy with both of those decisions. We'll get to this week in just a moment, but in general, and I think I kind of know what your answer is going to be here, but how would you ideally like to see Micah Parsons utilized in this defense? Once he's ingrained, knows the defense, not any sort of snap count, anything like that. Like, what's the long-term play here for Micah?
Long-term, you move him around. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, he could do the stuff standing up over the center. They people call that spinner, right? When the two linebackers are walked up and the A gaps, he can do the mug stuff. He does it from an off ball position. You know, when he drops into coverage, even if he plays the off ball spot, like he's doing a really good job. People are like, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you didn't pay him all that money to drop into coverage. Well, it's a nice change up that you have as an option. If you want to get LVN, Gary, and Parsons on the field together, one of them's going to have to drop. I'd rather have Parsons drop out of them. You know, I don't want to see Gary in coverage. Lucas Van Ness is like 270 pounds. Like, we don't, it's not good business. So having them worry about a five-man pass rush and then it being four and they double-teamed, they anticipated a double team for Parsons, so everyone still has one-on-ones across the board. Like, yeah, dude, we could live in that role. Like, guys, it's Micah Parsons. There's not a downside here. I think early on, I don't know how much of that stuff they're going to be able to get with him. Like, I almost kind of think it's like an either-or situation. And I really do think it's way more interesting to me from a, like, physically, how do you get a guy ramped up for that? Right. I think Khalil Mack played like 70% of his snaps, which was like a 10% knock relative to the rest of his season. But like, he played a lot of snaps. I think that if, you know, well, one, Micah is going to be playing in this game pretty clearly. I do think that you kind of have to choose whether you want him doing some of that linebacker stuff or whether he's going to be rushing off the edge. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle, you know, just the whole structure of the defense in whatever it was like 10 days before the actual game happened. So,
right.
I think you got to kind of like pick and choose early on. I think probably by like week two, week three, you're going to see him full force, but I mean, it's a real quick turnaround on this thing.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be interesting too. My guess is he's a more situational pass rusher in this game. It to open up would be my guess, which I'm totally fine with. Let him get
Mac played 70 and they had a lead, right? They had a lead in that game. So, yeah. I mean, he was doing more than that. So I think it's probably smart to get him off the field on like short yardage plays, goal line stuff, all that stuff. Just because of his, not because of his talent or anything like that. I think he can make some TFLs in those type of situations too. It's just more of a, like, how much do we want his body to deal with type of thing. So
that's where I'm at.
I can see him playing like that.
And you've got a Thursday night game too. That's the other thing. He's like, you've got another game right after the following week. So.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, really I'm kind of wait and see. I mean, I'm not in the coaching room. I mean, a lot of that is going to depend on the player. I understand Mike is a bright kid. That's why he's able to line up in all these type of spots and, you know, very instinctual player and all those type of things. But I just kind of got to see it. We haven't seen him in this situation before. Like, I don't know.
The general rule of thumb is you can't be a podcaster without being really, really smart. So you know that he's an insanely smart individual if he can handle the podcasting. I know that much.
One of us.
What do you buy of the back injury for Micah? You buying it? You not believing it? You maybe bits and pieces of it true, but not as bad as it's being portrayed. Nothing. Well, how do you feel?
Plausible deniability, fellas. The Dallas Cowboys were like, no, there's nothing wrong with your back. It was called back tightness when it was reported. I know now more stuff is coming out and they're trying to get into the specifics of it. Come on. It was Micah's way of saying, I'm not going to miss game checks while also not being on the field for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. And that might have ultimately been one of the reasons why Jerry decided to move on. Right. I mean, you're only given so much leverage. Guys, the J.C. Tretter, it just came out this offseason. J.C. Tretter got busted when he was number two at the NFLPA, because on a podcast, everything comes back around to podcasting. Welcome to 2025. on a podcast, he suggested that running backs who are not getting the money that they believe that they're worth should fake injuries. And they got popped for that. And then the NFLPA and the NFL both hid the findings of that. Right. So, like, again, fellas, like, I don't even think this is like conspiracy brained. I really don't. Like, just think about it. It's plausible deniability and don't leave a paper trail. Those are the rules.
All right. I hope that's the case. Hopefully it's much ado about nothing and there's no back injury moving forward. And that would be great. I think he's going to be fine either way. I'm not super concerned about it. I definitely Green Bay doesn't sign off on that deal in totality unless they feel very comfortable with said back injury, quotes or no quotes. And I don't have any concern about it whatsoever at the moment. What did you think of the rest of the injury update? Two players primarily not practicing, Nate Hobbs and Elgton Jenkins, the two that were not practicing. I think overall, that's pretty good news. It sounds like Nate Hobbs was doing a little bit more, had his helmet, had everything, didn't do any sort of individual or teamwork, but at least ramped up a little bit. And then I don't know what's going on with Elgton. I guess we'll find out at some point this week, hopefully just a vet rest day. But overall, I would say for the most part, outside of maybe Elgton, pretty good news.
Yeah, for sure. Big old question mark on Elgton. If he doesn't go, I assume it's going to be Ryan at center and then Jordan Morgan will play right guard.
Correct.
So that's just kind of what I think is going to happen there. As far as the Hobbs thing, I think this roster is pretty protected at least for like, we can't afford another injury, right? Cause then we start getting into a weird range of cornerback.
We start
getting into the unknown pretty quickly. And Melton had a nice summer and all that stuff. Like the physicality is there, all that. He doesn't look like a wide receiver playing DB. He looks like an actual DB. It's not a KV and Ento situation where you're like, this guy can cover, but the physicality is just not there at all. Yeah. I think the team's plan was always to play Bullard in the slot. It seemed like they leaned that way out of kind of the two options that they had. So I think this is really just Valentine in for Hobbs. And, you know, Valentine's been having a good summer coverage wise. That's never been the question with Valentine. So I'm not super worried about this injury report. What I'd be more worried about is just volume, like just numbers, right? We can withstand these two, right? Where it's like, okay, Ryan and Morgan are full timers.
Yep.
Carrington is coming off the bench. He's not going to be. He's going to be a full-timer instead of potentially coming off the bench as an outside corner in nickel sets, which, by the way, are already two-thirds of the snaps that the Packers are going to play, you know, season long. So we're not in uncharted territory yet, and that is good. Because when we get into uncharted territory, that's when the big question marks start popping up, and it's like, all right, what does the bottom of the roster actually look like? We're just not there yet. But, you know, something could happen in game.
It very much could. I think that gets a little bit more concerning. I don't love Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot with Javon Bullard in the slot, whether we're playing zone, whether we're playing man. That's not a matchup I totally love from a peer coverage standpoint either. So that's one that I'm looking for as we kind of get into Packers Lions. We'll get into all of it, but yeah, well, let's kind of transition to that. What, as you kind of go into this game, are either some of the key matchups or just some of the things that you're going to be keeping an eye on that you think could maybe swing this game one way or the other?
Yeah. So I wrote about Lions weaknesses on the site. We got, it was a question that Pride of Detroit, our sister site covering the Lions, kind of posted to their fans. I think this weekend, they seem to think interior offensive line and defensive end are some of their weaknesses. I am inclined to agree with them. Let me pull up the exact numbers on this situation. So Kevin Zeitler, he only played 1 year with the Lions, but he had 13 years of NFL experience, right? And Frank Ragnow, so Zeitler's a Tennessee Titan, signed a 1 year, $9 million contract. That's not nothing for a guy his age, right? Clearly, there was a market for him. Frank Ragnow, the center, started 96 games over seven seasons, earned four Pro Bowls doing it, three All Pros. I think he was second team All Pro last season. He retired from the sport. So you're seeing a seat change on the interior, right? The interior offensive line right now It's returning starter Graham Glasgow. His PFF grade, 57.9 last year. So not a great start. Christian Mahogany, he only ever played more than five snaps in a single game last season as a sixth-round rookie. Okay, bit of a question mark there. And then Tate Rutledge, who's a rookie himself. So uncertainty or bad vibes, right? Whatever scale, you know, on a relative scale. I think Glasgow is more bad vibes. The other two, it's more uncertainty for the three interior offensive line positions for the Lions. Now, we're down Kenny Clark, right? But if you wanted to draw up what an ideal first start for the brand new fresh defensive tackle combo of Devontae Wyatt and Kobe Wooden, who we're assuming is going to start at nose tackle, this is pretty much as good as you can draw it up at the NFL level for a week one game. Okay. Yeah. Defensive end, obviously Hutchinson is coming off of the injury. What he's going to look like, you know, who knows? Marcus Davenport, he's been healthy for six games over the last 2 years combined. I think we're at the point where it's like, what does that guy look like on the field now? I think that's a fair concern. They're all Lions fans, by the way, are wish casting that Za'Darius Smith returns to the team, because Za'Darius is like probably by far the most valuable free agent out there in the NFL. Clowney? Well, yeah, I mean, could be either. I think they'd settle for a Clowney right now too. The backups right now behind Hutchinson and Davenport, and, you know, defensive ends are going to get in the game no matter what. They only got two backups right now. So you got Al-Kaiden Muhammad. He's in his age 30 season. He's been on five teams. You know, do the math there, fellas. Yep. And then Tyrus Wheat, who's recorded a half sack over 20 NFL games and was just picked up off of the Dallas Cowboys at the cutdown deadline as a waiver pickup. So defensive end, first line of the depth chart, very much questions about, like, what do these guys look like after significant injuries? And then second line of the depth chart, it's like, whoa, first of all, there's not very many guys in this room. Second of all, these guys aren't very proven, you know, depth pieces. So, yeah, if Hutchinson and Davenport are playing well, buddy, call the shots when Wheat and Muhammad are on the field.
For sure. And I think that's one of the like, those are just the matchups you have to win. Like, Detroit is such a good team all the way around that if you're losing on the interior and like Montgomery and Gibbs are just running inside all day and you're not pressure up the middle, you know, on Goff at all. And on the other side, like, if all of a sudden Al-Kaiden Muhammad and Tyrus Wheat are getting pressures on you, it's probably going to be a long day at the office. So those to me are matchups that you just have to win. And then, of course, the big question is how much Tesla stock are you buying? The Isaac Tesla like is just like off the charts from a hype standpoint at the moment. If they get like a legit, like really good number three next to Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's certainly a little bit concerning, but he's a rookie. You never know what's going to happen in their first NFL games, but yeah, there's a lot of hype there.
Yeah. So that's funny. So the Pride of Detroit guys brought up those two positions, right? And then at the end of my article, I threw in the Isaac Tesla because I need to see it. I get he had a good combine. I get he looked good in the preseason. I get that Tim Patrick wasn't a great wide receiver three for him last year, and they moved on from him, but they kind of cleared the runway for Isaac Tesla.
Yep.
You know, if the Packers are in a pick your poison type of situation and they get aggressive on defense and you have to choose, hey, which one of these receivers are you willing to make you pay for that aggression? I want them to choose Tesla every single time. Yep. So Tesla, if you guys aren't aware, I think he started his career as like a D2 quarterback, transitioned to receiver, transferred up to Arkansas, played at Arkansas for 2 years, mostly as a slot-only player, which, like, when Amon-Ra St. Brown is on your team, buddy, you're not going to be playing the slot. That's his job is the slot. You're going to come off the bench at three wide receiver sets and you're going to line up on the sideline. He was ranked as the 168th overall prospect on the consensus draft board. He was taken 70th, but not only taken 70th, the Lions traded three third round picks to move up for him But the seven, they must have really liked him. His best season with Arkansas, you know, he played the 2 years there. 28 receptions, 545 yards, 3 touchdowns. I just need him to make the rookie prove it. Make the rookie third round pick converted quarterback who was recruited to be a D2 guy is playing a different position because he's moving from the slot to outside receiver and hasn't really been productive in his career. You got to make that guy prove it at the NFL level. You got to.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? I don't know if you remember Matt Jones, the Jacksonville Jaguars first round pick. Sure do. Yeah, the former quarterback turned wide receiver and all the hype. I'm not saying that that's going to end up that way or whatever, but it reminds me a little bit of that with how he got aggressively taken in that draft and then it just didn't quite work out. We'll see if Tesla does or not, but just reminds me a little bit of that.
Yeah. So yeah, make it pay for it. I think those are the three big ones where it's like, where is this game won? Probably some combination of disappointment between one of those three factors, the interior offensive line, defensive end, and Tesla.
And if all three are, like Detroit answers well, again, if like all of a sudden their defensive ends are good, Tesla's good, and the interior of their offensive line is good, they're just going to be a very, very dominant team, I would say, because they just don't have many weak spots everywhere else unless something completely drastically goes wrong that just hasn't gone wrong in the past, or just without Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, they can't do anything. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that to be the case, but they're going to be a very good football team. And that kind of leads into my next question is, how important is this game, Justice? Week one, Packers Lions in Green Bay. It's two teams that are expected to be battling for the NFC North. It's certainly not devastating like to your season if they lose it or anything like that, but it does feel like it could ultimately be a deciding factor at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to win the North, you probably can't lose more than 4 games this year. Yeah. Right. So if you want to think about it that way, 60 minutes into the season, one of these teams are going to burn a quarter of their allotted losses if they're going to win the division. So, I mean, it's important. I don't think like it's a must win type of thing. Like the NFL is a sport. You want to get hot in the playoffs. Like that's that earns you more than anything. Right. Winning those games is much more important than any sort of home field advantage that you could build up. Right.
For sure.
So you'd rather be, I guess you'd rather be lucky than good. Right. Look at Flacco's crazy run in the postseason way back in the day. It's important. I don't think it's, this isn't the Super Bowl, fellas, but no. It's important.
If they lose this game, not speaking it into existence, obviously, but if they lose, how important then does that Washington game become? Because that to me is like what I would get a little bit more antsy of like, man, you really don't want to start 0-2, especially 0-2 at home, especially after trading for Micah Parsons and having all the good vibes ahead of time. And after all the talk last year was like, oh, you can't beat good teams. And then you get 2 right away against Detroit and Washington like that. It's again, it's not a must win, but man, it would not be fun to start 0-2. So that's where I would be like, if they lose to Detroit, man, that Washington game seemed very important right away. 4 days later?
Yeah. I mean, people always pull up that stat. If you start the season 0-2, it's like a 91% chance you miss the playoff. Right. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we talked about this already, right? With the allotted losses. Like if you're going to win the division, get home field advantage in the playoffs for at least a game, right? Now you're out half of your allotted losses going into week 3. Like that's not a position you want to be in. So yeah, I mean, that's why you get Micah Parsons.
Well said.
The thing. We got to win one of these at least.
And obviously, like I said, not speaking that into existence is not what I expect to happen. I think they'll easily take at least one of these and we'll just kind of buckle in and wait for the ride and see what ultimately they can do in those first two and then kind of go from there. But it's a huge game right away. Have I told you my hot take where I think every game week one should be AFC versus NFC?
How come?
I just think that with the way the teams treat preseason now, like it's non-existent. Like, I don't think anyone's remotely close to playing their best football in week one. I think it's like a very much like a feeling out standpoint. And it's not like the AFC and NFC game aren't important, but they're the least important of every game that you play, because you're getting, if you lose, you get it. Yeah. Like tiebreakers don't count, things like that. The win goes to the opposite conference. It's not one that's affecting you within the conference. So I believe that week one should be AFC versus NFC to kind of get everyone a little bit more acclimated to playing actual football. And then you can still, like, there's a ton of amazing matchups that you can do AFC versus NFC. So that's my bold random take. I definitely don't think there should be any divisional matchups week one, but I know I'm kind of alone in that boat.
I don't see a problem with it. I don't like it. I mean, I agree with the things you're saying, but I don't know why the NFL doesn't do that. I think the NFL is just like, dude, we really want, like, I don't know if it is this year, but it seems like every year, week one, Monday Night Football is just perpetually always just Cowboys Giants. Like, it just always feels like we're just getting that game off the rip. I think the NFL just likes that. So
probably true. And it's not going to change. So it's a mute, you know, pointless point, but it's my bold take. I think it should be AFC versus NFC week one. I honestly would do it the first 2 weeks if I'm being totally honest, but I don't have say in it and nobody cares anyway. So let's continue on. Like, the other one that I think is really interesting on that Monday Night Football is Vikings versus Bears. This is a game, Justice, that usually I don't care too much about, unless there's like stakes where like Green Bay needs one of those teams to lose or whatever, just because like there's nobody to cheer for in that game, right? Like we have nobody usually that we want to win that game one way or the other. This one's insanely intriguing to me because you two of the biggest just mystery boxes / wild cards / whatever in the entire NFL to me are JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams. And it's even exponentially more so in the NFC North, where if all of a sudden those two guys are like really, really good, man, buckle up. The NFC North is going to be insane for the foreseeable future. And if like either of those guys or both are just misses, they can't play, they're not up to par, both of those teams get set back pretty aggressively at some point. So I'm very intrigued to see how those two play in their opening game.
Yeah, for sure. I think JJ McCarthy for sure is a just giant mystery. I mean, he hasn't started an NFL game at this point, right? We saw some of the camp clips. I joked he got sacked like four times on one of these highlight plays that Vikings fans were going crazy about. I mean, there's certainly uncertainty there. And then Caleb Williams, I just think like how he fits in that offense, what they actually do with him. Because, like, if you're making Caleb Williams do Jared Goff things, right, there's going to be growing pains, right? Or do you just lean into what he does well, which is sort of like the gun improviser type of stuff? Like, it'll be interesting to see, like, how much give there is between what our plan is for Williams and what our plan is for Ben Johnson. Right.
Sure.
And if they're just willing to eat sort of like the growing pains to kind of like develop him into a Ben Johnson quarterback or not. I mean, those are the quarterbacks are the things I'm definitely monitoring in that.
Who has a better year, Caleb Williams or JJ McCarthy?
I don't know. I mean, McCarthy is going to have Thielen and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
Hockenson,
I lean him, but like, I don't know. I could change my opinion. I'm reserving the right to change my opinion after this game. So yeah. I'm not putting it all out on the table right now. I haven't seen enough of him. I haven't really paid attention to him in the preseason.
We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself. but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. No, for sure. I just think it's going to be a very interesting matchup to see where both of those quarterbacks there are in week one. Obviously for McCarthy, his first start, and with Williams being his first start in the Ben Johnson era. Very interesting matchup. And hopefully they both just, you know, 10 points each for both teams. 10-10 tie. I'll take that. That would be a win for Green Bay. What else you got? Anything else you want to go over before we get out of here?
Not yet. I don't think so. Gonna pay close attention to that injury report this week.
Yes.
I'd like to have Hobbs. I'd like to have Jenkins. As much as this roster is kind of constructed around being able to eat those injuries and kind of be all right, at least for one more injury, right? Yep. I'd like for him to play. I'd like for everyone to be healthy all the time. That'd be great.
Turn the injury slider off for everyone. The NFL would be a whole heck of a lot better. That's for sure. All right. Who you got? Packers, Lions. What's your early prediction? I won't hold you to it for the rest of the week if you change it on somebody else's podcast or on APC, but as you're feeling it right now, what are you feeling for this game?
Hey man, I'm getting my Matthew Golden on. I feel, you know, the vibes are good. I think it's time to be bold. So yeah, Green Bay Packers. Let's go. Why not? I think they're favored, right? They're favored short, like 1.5 or something like that.
It was either 1.5 or 2.5. I am checking currently. It is 2.5 for Green Bay.
Cool. So they didn't want to give the push on the field goal. So they think it's going to be tight. I think it's probably going to be tight. I like Micah Parsons.
Prior to the Parsons trade, it was the tightest line of any game of the week at what was it, 0.5, I think, or one of the two. It was the tightest line of any game all week. But now the tightest game is, there's two of them, three of them. Bears-Vikings is a 1.5-point spread to Minnesota. Bills-Ravens, God, that's a good game, is 1.5 to Buffalo. And then the other one is Colts Dolphins, which is 1.5 to Indy. So those are the three now closest ones. But 2.5 for Green Bay.
Are there any lines you think are interesting?
Let's go through.
I like Jacksonville. I like Jacksonville against Carolina. So
let's just go through them really quick. All right, Cowboys Eagles is Philly -7.5. That feels about right to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Chiefs Chargers is Chiefs -3.5. That it's an that feels about right to me too. I don't think that's crazy.
I think I like Chiefs there, but
I think I do we'll too. See. Yeah, it's neutral, so it's in Brazil. So I think that would lead me towards Chiefs a little bit more. Packers we talked about. Falcons Buccaneers -2.5. I have a weird feel for Atlanta in that game, even though I think Tampa is the way better team.
I don't know. They just juiced that receiver room so much and they still have a solid offensive line. So like Baker's got the nicest spot in the NFL in terms of like, he doesn't really have to do that much. So
good for him.
I don't know. After we'll see. Plus Atlanta's defensive line is going to be so bad this year.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to stop the run at all this whole year. And they don't have a first round pick. So
It's not going to be great for them. Bengals -5.5 versus Cleveland. Kind of like Cincinnati a little bit more than that.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
here's my hot take one. Dolphins, Colts -1.5. I think Dolphins easily cover that. I think the Colts are going to be a really bad football team.
I'm with you. I think they're going to be pretty terrible, man. The fact that offense couldn't get going against our second stringers, buddy, this could be a long year.
If you told me the Colts ended up with the number one pick, I would not be like stunned. I'm not predicting it. I'm not expecting it, but I'm just saying I would not be stunned. I think Dolphins cover there. Raiders, Patriots, Patriots minus 2.5. That feels right to me.
The interesting thing is going to be Gonzalez because he's banged up right now.
Yeah, he didn't practice on Monday. I know that much.
So, if you're betting on that game, I would hold off until, you know, the final injury report comes out on Friday and you know what the heck is happening with Christian Gonzalez.
Saints, Cardinals. This is an interesting one. What do you think, Saints? It's in New Orleans, Cardinals, Saints.
Man, it might be like Cardinals by 5 because the Saints are just, they still stink.
Cardinals 6.5 on the road against New Orleans.
Yeah. I thought I went high. No, higher. No one wants any part of the Saints team.
Yeah. Speaking of the number one overall pick, that's another leader in the clubhouse too. So yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I have a weird feeling the Saints will do a little bit better, but I don't feel good about it. I would stay away. Steelers, Jets, the Aaron Rodgers Bowl. Jets are no
Fields Bowl also. How dare you? It's double revenge game.
That's my bad. Steelers minus 2.5.
That's in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Giants, Commanders minus 6.5. In Washington.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are a good football team, but I do kind of think we got to slow down with this whole Washington thing. Like, Jerry Jones just went on a rant about how the run defense stinks and stuff like that. Like, how many times have we seen, like, this is the story with Dan Quinn teams. They get in the door. They're basically peak as soon as they get in the door, and then they just slowly taper off. Mind you, the Commanders are the oldest team in the NFL by far. Yeah. It's not close. So I could see some of these guys that they're hoping to get production out of not really pan out. Plus the whole, I mean, Jaden Daniels is always going to be, I think, a little bit volatile just from his play style, his size, like all those type of things. So if I'm shorting any of these quote unquote contenders this year, Washington is the one I'm shorting.
I'm right there with you. I totally agree. I think they're going to have the version of the season that Green Bay and Houston had last year, where there was just a little bit after all the hype the year before, just kind of
a little bit of a hangover,
a little bit of a hangover, a little bit of like you kind of, you know, start feeling yourself maybe a little bit too much. Think, you know, your crap doesn't stink. And then all of a sudden you get humbled a little bit. So they probably take care of the Giants in this one, but hopefully get ready for a huge loss in Green Bay in week 2. That would be great. So you said Jacksonville minus 3.5. That's what you're liking Jacksonville on that one. I do too, if that's where you're going.
Unless you're saying you just had an appendectomy and Bryce Young lost his favorite safety blanket in Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
I think it's that simple for, like, that's a lot of change for a young quarterback.
New era for Jacksonville. There's always like a little bit more of like set the tone right away. And yeah. I like Jacksonville in that one.
I like Jacksonville in that spot.
Broncos, Titans, Broncos minus 7.5 in Denver. That feels mostly right to me.
That's going to be fun to watch. When Tennessee has the ball, the trenches are going to be really fun to watch in that game because Denver obviously has a really good defense. And the Titans have, like, I mean, they've done the thing that people talk about where they're like, hey, screw it. It doesn't matter until you built that offensive line. So take your time to build that offensive line and then figure it out from there. I mean, obviously, you know, having Callahan running the team, he's always going to be offensive line centric. So, like, you know, that kind of helps you on that front. That'll be fun to watch. I don't think that they're going to beat Denver, but I'm interested in watching that film at least, even though it's, you know, AFC matchups. I don't think we play either of them. So,
Broncos, we play, right? We do play the Broncos. We? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm double checking it because I think it's at the end of the year. They play Denver.
I can't remember because we play Ravens. So I'm like, okay.
Denver's the bizarro AFC team we play that, like, the extra game or whatever. So it's at week 15 at Denver late in the season, which I think is going to be a fun match. All right. Seahawks, 49ers, 49ers minus 2.5 in Seattle.
I don't know what to make either of those teams, man. San Francisco is so banged up at the skill positions right now. And then Seattle, it's like you changed over like the entire mentality of that team.
Yep.
when you got rid of Geno, you got rid of DK and you added Sam Darnold. So I'll watch it. I'm not going to feel strong one way or the other going into it, though.
Kind of like Seattle a little bit in that one in Seattle, but again, not something I feel strong about. The week one is always bizarre. You just don't know what to make of anything. Texans, Rams, that's a good game. Rams minus three and a half at home.
Give me the Texans.
Yeah.
Those guys fly on the defensive side of the ball. And buddy, anytime a quarterback is entering the season and he's like dealing with lingering issues, like we saw this with Cam, we saw this with Flacco, we've seen this with Luck. I'm trying to think of more recent examples, but like this always goes poorly.
Yeah.
So I could just see the Texans just kind of flying and Matthew Stafford not looking like the Matthew Stafford of old. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But usually when we see these type of issues, like it shows up in the regular season. This wasn't just a summer thing. So
just potentially rust too. Just like rust of not being able to practice much or anything like that. I'll be very interested to see how he looks. Ravens, Bills minus 1.5 at home. That's an unbelievable freaking game. Week one, Sunday great night game. Football. Like just unbelievable.
I will be there. Yeah. I have no prediction. I will be there. I'm going to watch. Yeah.
And watch every second of it. Yeah, for sure. I'll be getting done at Lambeau Field, trying to wrap things up as quickly as I can. And then, of course, I'll have like a post game and a live. So I don't know how much I'm going to see of it, but that's definitely going to be one on my rewatch list throughout the course of the week if I don't catch much of it live, that's for sure. And then of last but not least, Vikings, Bears, Vikings minus 1.5 in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know anything about I'm watching the quarterbacks. But going into it, I'm throwing my hands up. I don't know what the hell I'm going to be watching.
I'll take Minnesota, I think. But yeah, that one to me is basically just a coin flip. All right. That's a good way to kind of finish up today's show. Just kind of looking at each of those games. Obviously, the number one game, Packers-Lions, it's going to be epic. I cannot wait for it. Justice called it. Calling a shot. Packers is going to win that game. And I won't spoil it, but kind of lean in that direction too, Justice, as I get closer and closer to the week. And hopefully the little bump you get from Micah going into that game is going to be enough to kind of get you over the hump against a very good Detroit team. All right, tell us where we can find all of your incredible work, sir.
AcmePackingCompany.com. You can find me on social media at JUMOSQ. Going to be pumping stuff out this week, folks. It is a game week, and that is not lost on me. You are not going to be hearing about 2028 salary cap situations. We're talking about real deal football. So I'm excited.
Are you going to be breaking down potentials, like who's the starters on special teams?
I could, but I think people are kind of tired of it. We got the roster numbers right, and I think the special teams wise, we're on the money. It was just the big thing was they just swapped the linebackers, and then hey, they got Micah Parsons instead of Aaron Mosby. Yeah, I'd probably do that too. Yeah,
weigh it out.
Yeah.
I'm going through, like I said, I'm grading every Parsons game. I'm only two in so far. His first one would have been like tied for fourth best of any defender I had graded this last year. Like it's just, that was like the very first game that I did. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be, I think what people don't realize is
he's our best player.
He's our best player, but there's so much stuff that teams scheme to not go at him so that they're just basically trying to avoid him as best as possible. And he still makes plays. And then like, I know it's DeJuan Jones, so don't get me wrong here. DeJuan Jones had two false starts because Micah Parsons is lined up across from him. Maybe it was just a brain fart, no matter what. Maybe it would have happened if it was me going against him. I don't know. But like the Micah Parsons adds a little bit more of a jumpiness and a fear too of like, there's two false starts in that game. There's just like, there's another sack that happens in that game because of Micah Parsons. It doesn't show up on his stat sheet. It doesn't show up on anything like that, but another Dallas defender gets a sack because of what Micah Parsons did on the play. Like there's a ton of sack assists, if you will, to Micah Parsons. So, there's so much stuff that doesn't show up in the box score that he does in a game. It's like from game one, watching it, it was really, really remarkable to see.
Yeah. And folks, if you're going to the game live, please don't do the wave on the offense when the offense has the ball, and be very loud when the defense has the ball or when the defense is on the field.
Get into that.
Those Seahawks teams, like the 13-14 Seahawks teams, one of the reasons why they were so good is they leveraged crowd noise as pass rushers, and they took advantage of that. Like Michael Bennett was like the best snap jumper in the league. If we can get Micah Parsons there, buddy, like it can get a whole lot louder than, you know, what he was dealing with at AT&T Stadium, where, you know, half of the fans are going to be opposing teams, you know, coming in and stuff like that too. So I'm hyped. I'm excited.
Getting him into that silent count is a huge thing. So yes, make a ton of noise on defense, make zero noise on offense, and we'd be off to a great start for the season. That's to say the least. Follow him at JUMOSQ, and of course, acmepackingcompany.com. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL, and of course, Packaday Podcast, wherever you find your favorite podcast, 365 days a year. That's going to do it for Justice and I, but until next time, and as always, go Pack-O.